Ayad Akhtar is an American author, screenwriter, actor, and playwright whose debut play, Disgraced, has just been awarded the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. He's here with me, Amadeep Sohi, at the Bush Theatre to talk to Theatre Voice ahead of the London debut. Hello, Ayad.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I have to begin by saying congratulations on the Pulitzer.
Thank you.
How does it feel to have your work placed amongst the likes of Arthur Miller and Tennessee Williams?
Bizarre.
Really?
I mean, it's... those are writers that I admire so much. You know, so many of the writers who've won this prize are people that I, you know, have aspired... or not aspired, I sort of... learned from, and so, you know, to see your name on that list, you know, I'm not sure I take it all that seriously at the end of the day, but you know, look, it's unbelievable.
It's an impressive start.
It's not really a start, though. I've been writing for 20 years.
It's
a paradox because I've been writing for so long, but I was not writing stage plays per se. You know, at this point I'd written, I don't know, 9 screenplays and 2 novels, and you know, I had spent a lot of time thinking about dramatic structure. I'd been working in the theater for a long time, but I never really sat down and thought, I'm going to write a play. And then, you know, I did, and then I have written 3 more in quick succession. So inside of a year and a half, well, 2 years, I wrote 4 plays. So, and then I rewrote this one so much after having written the others that in a way it's a little misleading to say that it's, you know, I won, you know, it's on my first tryout, I won this award and all that. But it makes a good story, so, you know, people say it.
And for those who aren't familiar with Disgraced, can you give us a short synopsis of the play?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's basically about a fellow by the name of Amir Kapoor, who is a, you know, he's changed his name, his family name is Abdullah, and... he is of Muslim origins, but he is a high-powered corporate attorney who is has been hiding those Muslim origins from his colleagues at work at the law firm, and you know, notably from his Jewish bosses. And because of some events that sort of happen offstage in the play, his identity is sort of revealed. His true identity is revealed, and that creates havoc for him at the office, and then sort of. Ends up tearing, leading to a sequence of events that ends up tearing his life apart. So,
and where did the concept of the play derive from?
It's a play that came together, brought together a lot of different strands of thought or a lot of different strands of inspiration. And you know, I'd always wanted to write a play that felt something like a really good scene in a Woody Allen, mid-Woody Allen film, but with, you know, a character like of my ethnicity as the central character, not right. The Woody Allen character as the central. You know, and of course, in this case, you've got Amir, who is basically a self-loathing Muslim, so it's kind of a trope on the self-loathing Jew. And I guess, you know, there was another strand of inspiration had to do with a dinner party that I was at in 2006, where... subject of conversation turned to Islam, and you know, what ended up happening over the course of the evening was things were said where people's relationships were sort of shifted over the course of just dinner. And I thought that would always kind of be an interesting, that was a nugget that always stuck with me as an interesting concept for a play.
And going back to the character of Amir, what are the themes that frame his personality and his life?
You know, I'm writing from a particular set of experiences in the sense that I'm writing from what we could, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, call Muslim American experience, or I'm trying to author something in that space. But I'm really working toward what I hope and believe to be more universal sort of preoccupations. And in Amir's case, you know, he's going through this thing of hiding his identity because of this sort of, you know, anti-Muslim sentiment in the culture. But, you know, on some level, he's basically partaking of that quasi-universal dilemma of identifying yourself with a false self for the sake of the world at the expense of your true identity. And I think that that's something that audiences have connected with. I've been time and again sort of surprised that audiences connect with Amir based on their own terms, not on the terms of the play, but they find their own corollaries in his experience that move them. And that's really the goal. The goal isn't to, you know, shed light on some, you know, situation or some unacknowledged community. I mean, that's, you know, that's really more a sociological or a public relations project than it is an artistic one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And for anyone who sees immediate similarities between Disgrace and Mohsin Ahmed's novel and subsequent film, The Reluctant Fundamentalist, how would you say your treatment of the themes differ?
I don't think there's really any connection.
No.
Not really. I mean, Mohsin's protagonist is not born in this country. He's not born in America.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Just in the immediate sense of...
Mohsin's protagonist becomes presumably some sort of a fundamentalist. Amir doesn't. I mean, there really isn't. I think there's a cosmetic similarity, but I don't think there's any profound similarities. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Okay, sure, yeah.
It's up to other people to decide if they feel that there are connections.
Sure. How has the creative process differed between London and the US, if at all?
You know, I think that London audiences, or at least the sort of, you know, the staff here at the Bush, the director and the actors, they have a different sort of sense of the theatrical reality than Americans do. I think Americans sort of see the theater as a sort of faded image of the more immediate film and television sort of paradigm in terms of, you know, presence. And, you know, stage presence and naturalism and representation and all of that. We're still very beholden in America to the screen as the dominant form of representation. And I think here there's a more active, engaged, you know, sophisticated tradition of theatrical representation. And so that process of sort of seeing a group of people work with this text, which is in some ways very, I think, very, very film-dependent or film-inspired. Seeing them bring it to stage has been a really kind of fascinating experience.
Great. And you work across many mediums. Did mm-hmm. your writing process differ across each one?
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that the formal constraints of each particular medium have, you know, different requirements, to be sure, but, you know, the creative process at the end of the day, I think of myself as a dramatic storyteller, whether I'm telling a story as an actor or whether I'm telling a story as a playwright or as a screenwriter or as a novelist. And so I'm sort of thinking about, you know, to speak in sort of story terms, I'm thinking about reversals and recognitions, and I'm thinking about oppositions, and I'm thinking about, you know, I'm thinking in terms of scene structure. Even if I'm writing a novel, I'm really sort of thinking in terms of scenes. So a lot of the thought process that goes into telling a story is similar, but ultimately, you know, obviously the formal constraints are different. When you're writing a play, all of the information has to be revealed through dialogue, which is completely different than writing a film, you know.
How do you prepare for that?
Prepare for what?
Writing dialogue as opposed to
I don't prepare for it. I think it just sort of, you know, you just know that, okay, well, I'm going to start writing this story and it's going to have to come out through dialogue, so characters are talking, as opposed to, oh, okay, I know I'm going to tell the story, but I'm going to be telling it in images, so I'm going to be thinking of a scene in terms of what I see as opposed to what I hear.
And what's next for you?
I'm working on my next book. I am writing. I have a new play that's going up next year, which is not finished. It needs a lot of work, actually. But I'm also writing another. I'm writing a new play. And I would like to write a movie. I have an idea for a movie I'd like to write for my directorial debut. So we'll see if that all comes together. But
can you tell us what the play is going to be about?
Or? I can tell you what the new one going up next year is about. Mm-hmm. But the other stuff I'm still working on. It's basically a sort of knockoff of Taming of the Shrew. It's, you know, I was in a cab in New York one night and I saw an ad for Kiss Me Kate. And I thought to myself, what in God's name is this fascination with Taming of the Shrew? Because the gender politics make no sense to a Western audience. Mm-hmm. It's totally like It has no relevance to how people actually live their lives in terms of gender. But I thought to myself, it makes perfect sense in the culture that I come from and I grew up in. And so I sort of started mulling around a play that basically takes the same premise where you have a younger sister who wants to marry her boyfriend and the older sister who's sworn off love and doesn't want to get married, and the father who says, well, your younger sister's not going to get married until you get married. So
that sounds familiar.
Yeah, right, exactly my point.
Well, thank you for your time, Ed, and best of luck with the run here at the Bush.
Thank you so much.